Good evening. Welcome to Till Death Do Us Part. This is episode number 3. I hope you've enjoyed the previous 2. So sit down and relax and get ready for something spectacular. We will be talking about finances in a marriage and the do's and the don'ts and what works and what usually don't work. And we hope that you will enjoy, and we're going to talk about
the importance of finances in a marriage. About 40% of marriages don't survive because of finances. When they get married, one of the things couples don't do when they get married, they don't check each other's credit report. Or really know or understand their partner's financial stability or instability. Mm-hmm. And I think a discussion of finances should be when they're dating. I don't see anything wrong with a young brother when he is dating a woman and he is serious about that woman to say, listen, I need to see your credit report. It sounds like it might be offensive, but in reality, it is not.
No, but credit report can reveal secrets.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can reveal whether you are an excessive spender, wow, a wasteful spender.
Yes.
Example. If you meet a female with diamonds everywhere, on diamonds on every finger, diamonds on her ears, and just a flash, then that should be some kind of signal.
A warning, yeah.
So she's got diamonds everywhere, and her credit score is 350. Then you know that she has no control of her spending. She's an impulsive spender.
Right.
Doesn't have to be diamonds. Could be anything. Could be gambling. Be cars. It could be furniture. It could be shoes.
Right.
Something that you just out of control.
Right.
So if you have to know that when you go into a relationship that this is not going to change.
That's right.
So this is something that you're going to have to deal with sooner or later.
Right.
If you just keep moving forward with it, or you should discuss these things
prior to,
as you become closer.
That's right. Absolutely. And it's no secret. It is no secret. If you don't want me to see your credit report, then if I am fiscally responsible, if I am responsible with my money, I do not want to involve myself with anybody that is irresponsible. And you and I went through a very difficult time when we first got married. We didn't research each other's. Mm-hmm. And I remember, even though I had a lot, you were more fiscally responsible than I was. Your credit was way up there. Mm-hmm. And your credit was what actually caused us to prosper. When, you know, you would buy property and things like that. And I was a builder. I was more a builder. I wasn't as responsible as you are. And most people would look at me and think I was the more responsible because I had more. But what happened was I was so busy building, I wasn't watching the money. And that almost caused us to not be married. Mm-hmm. Because what would happen is I would use your money for my payroll. You remember those days? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And you weren't happy about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you dealt with it for a portion of time. Mm-hmm. But basically, it was not something you wanted to live with forever. And I had to learn, I took the mentality that we were partners and we were building up our business and I was so excited, but I wasn't being wise at all. Now let me go back to being responsible in your finances. One of the things in marriage, and many times we don't, in this podcast, we try not to always bring spiritual part. We bring the spiritual part without stressing God, only because we don't want this to just be for Christians. We want it to be for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because we believe that the principles that God has given us works, whether you're saved or unsaved, whether you're in the church or not in the church. When you use the principles, then those principles will manifest if you believe those principles. Anyway, with us, we had to learn to put God in the center of our money. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Sure.
We had to put money in its rightful place because we were building and we were not considering each other's feelings. All we knew is we wanted to get to the top. Am I correct?
Yeah. Different ideas. For example, you wanted to hold on to property. I never did. I wanted a sale sign. You wanted a rent sign.
Right.
That was a big issue.
That was a big issue.
You know.
And you were smarter because you wanted to buy and sell.
Right.
Buy and sell. Right. And I would buy and rent,
business. Never wanted to rent, never.
Right, I know, yeah. And that was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't keep money in its rightful place.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't wise. We didn't talk about it. We thought money was here at the top of the priority list, when in reality, God was then money. I believe we even put money before God. You know, we love the Lord, but we had our hustle on at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Would you not agree?
Yeah, I agree. We were so busy working on building this mountain.
Right.
That we didn't take the time to even get to know each other.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
You can become so busy that you look at each other one day and you're strangers.
Right. It's not just the lack of money that causes people to split. Sometimes it's the road to wealth that would cause marriages to split. But I was thinking that one of the benefits of communicating about money, you and I, we check our credit once a month. Mm-hmm. And we make sure everything is on point, on target. But the benefits in discussing money and knowing the credit report and knowing what's going on with finances, the benefits of that is the two of you being on one page.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to do one thing, I wanted to do another.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
It creates a lot of friction in a relationship when there's no communication in the financing.
Yes.
Bills get behind, it causes arguments.
Yes.
Bad ones.
Right.
Door slams, infidelity. And you look and you don't even know where, you won't even know where it came from. It sneaks up on you, you know. And the results of it could be devastating.
Yeah.
And because you look at it to be such a small thing, and it's really a giant, it's laughing at you. But it's just so important that you have financial balance. It's not a joke when your gas tank is on E and you don't have no money to put any gas in the car. It's how can your wife get in the car and have no gas?
Right.
Because of your inability to run your finances. I remember when I was coming up, there were there were people in the block that had new Cadillacs, and they were just working on nickel and dime jobs. But they knew how to budget. And the people in the block would wonder, so how'd they get a new Cadillac? How do they dress so well and they have new furniture in the house? And the guy might have a truck driver's job, or then she might be a waitress. But sometimes people can take small money and budget it so well.
Oh my God, yes.
That they do more with it than someone that's making a lot more. The one that's making more, waste.
Yeah.
And the one making less, control, budget. And the outcome is like night and day.
They're on the same page, wouldn't you say?
Sure.
They're on the same page. And when you both understand where you're going, when you both understand the beauty of stewardship, then what happens is that little money begins to grow. That little bit of money, it begins to grow because you're working together to make sure all the bills get paid. You're living. One of the things that a lot of people do, though, Miles, they live above their means. Mm-hmm. When you live above your means, you're not being a good steward. But when the man and woman together are being a good steward and talking about money, sharing where, making sure the bills are paid, making sure they live below their means. Who wants to buy a house for $500,000 and be house poor?
Mm-hmm.
You can afford to pay the $500,000 mortgage. If the heater breaks down, you have no money for the heater. That's sort of being house poor.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a good steward if those are the things that are happening. I like the example you gave, how the two people work together. They may not make a lot of money, but they had new cars, the house rent or mortgage was paid.
Beautiful furniture.
Beautiful furniture in the home. And they would go on a vacation at least once a year.
Mm-hmm.
They lived a good life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know last night we were talking and you would, what is that song you were singing? We may not have.
We may not have a mansion on a hill.
Right.
Mink coats and diamond rings.
And you were saying how that was, but we have each other. That's what they were singing mm-hmm. in the song. And how that was so phony.
Yeah.
It wasn't real.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't real.
We could be on a desert lost without no place to go.
Right.
But it's all right, I know.
Right. We could be on a desert lost without a place to go. We are so in love.
Mm.
And we love each other so much. That's a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want some. I wanted you to be strong in the finances. Tell me when I was, and you will do it in a minute. You will tell me, look, don't buy that. Don't do that. Don't do the other. That's not a wise decision. And I listen. And I do the same with you. Miles, I don't think you should buy that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be a little bit too much above our budget. We don't play when it comes to the financial part.
Mm-hmm.
We are serious. And I think that a lot of marriages fail because they just aren't being good stewards. They're falling in love with each other. Don't care how much, what each other bring to the table until they get into marriage and they see all the bills coming.
There was a friend of mine, and he married this, he was in Florida and he had a lot of land and, you know, didn't take much to make him happy. He had an old shack and he raised chickens and he met this woman from New York. She was fancy. Somehow she talked him into marrying her. And he left his little shack in the woods He had 135 acres in the woods. And she took him to New York. She talked him into going to New York with her. And he went to New York and stayed with in her house. And when the mailman came, she gave him all the bills. And he says, what do you want me to do with these? And she said, well, you my husband, you got to pay him. And he said, I got in my car and I came back to Florida. So that was the story.
And guess what? Guess what? A lot of people do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do the same thing. A lot of women will date a man who has children, and they don't know that that man pays child support. And once you get married to that man, if that man doesn't have a job, you have to pay that child support bill.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are things you need to discuss. And these are not just, people think the world, you know, people who aren't in the church
mm-hmm.
deal with these issues. Folk in the church deal with these same issues.
Sure, sure.
Listen, they live above their means. They want the great things. I saw right across the street from us, there's a gentleman that lives in a rented apartment right on Woodland Avenue. And he has this big, beautiful Mercedes Benz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yes, he
did. Now, Miles, what woman would date him? There are women who would date him because he drives the Mercedes Benz. But little do they know, he lives on Woodland Avenue in a little small apartment.
Yeah.
Isn't that? They don't understand that. They would end up marrying this man and then find out that the Mercedes was a facade.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, it was like the little boy who, the dog rather, who looked at the bone in the water and dropped the bone. And in reality, that person is looking at the vehicle when in reality, the man had nothing.
Mm.
And he's paying more money for the vehicle than where he lives.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so those are all the things that as a couple, you have to look at. One of the things, Miles, that I believe is that married couples should always deal with the need first. The need is those things that are essential for survival. What would you say a need would be? Our home?
Home, car.
Car. Food.
Vacation.
A vacation every now and then. And I don't know if a vacation is really a need when two people are just getting married and may not have a lot.
Well, I mean, vacation could be.
I think a vacation.
I mean, you can go on a vacation with $200, you know.
Well, that's true, but I think a vacation is more of a want.
Yeah.
What do you think? No. I mean, I agree with you. It's a need.
Sure.
You need to get away.
You need to get some air.
Right, right. So that's good. So vacation, house, food, a vehicle. Those are needs. What would you consider a want?
Diamonds.
A diamond, a nice ring. Sharp suit. What else do you think a want would be? Something, a want, a certain type of furniture in your home, you know? And wants are legitimate. Wants are when something you genuinely enjoy. But what we find in marriages, it is more consumerism. And consumerism is just unwise spending. Mm-hmm. Rather than rather than me, right now, I don't owe any money on my vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. So since I don't owe any money on my vehicle is paid for. There's nothing wrong with my vehicle. My vehicle still drives well. There's nothing in my vehicle that I love so much that I would update it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It gets me where I need to go. So I refuse to buy a brand new vehicle. No, no, because it would be unwise spending for me. It's not impulsive or it's not impulsive, but if my car is still lovely, it still works, why would I go out and purchase another car? Wisdom would say, take that money and place that money in a fund that will, or CD, or some kind of a stock that where it could turn over. Mm-hmm. Now, most people don't think like that. What do you think about that? Rather than me get a new car. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that would that was wise. I was working with an Indian gentleman once, and we were discussing what to teach your children. And I asked him, I said, what is it that's important that you teach your children? And for the first time I ever heard anyone say it like he said it, he says, I teach my children the most important thing in life is to save money.
Right.
I never forgot that. I was talking to, I was listening to another seminar or something, and they said that if you put, I think it was like $1,000 into a trust fund when the child is born, when he's birthed, when he comes out of the womb, and if you put $1,000 into a CD that same day, when he's 65, if you let it sit when he becomes 65 years old, I believe it. I forget the number, but it was but it was extraordinary.
Really?
It was hundreds of thousands of dollars that they would have.
Right.
If you just put it into a CD and don't touch it for 65 years. Right. That sounds ridiculous.
Right.
But people do it.
Right. They do.
You know, for their children.
Right. I told Sincere the other day, I let him see, for the first time, I let him see my account where I was saving for Zoe and all of them, all of our Naima, our whole group that you and I save for. Well, I showed it to Sincere. And I said, your mother takes good care of you. Guess what? Grandma and Grandpa, what we're going to do, we're going to take this money and put it away so when it's time to go to college, you won't need one dime.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas and birthday and all of that. Their parents do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom says build for your children.
Mm-hmm.
Build for your grandchildren. That's what wisdom say. That's what wisdom say. And so the other thing that is important for us, Miles, that we try not to do, we try to use cash and not credit. Now, many times you may need to use a credit card, but a lot of married couples don't understand that credit cards are not real money.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you and I have been in a position where we have paid real high interest.
Mm-hmm.
on credit cards. And so that's another, a lot of times men really go through a lot with women who take credit cards and go shopping all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big issue in a lot of marriages. And so,
Priorities.
Yeah. You have that is the word that I was looking for.
Yeah, it's priorities. There's one guy, gentleman had on, he was showing me his $700-$800 shoes.
Right.
And he was bragging on them. And my shoes might have cost $60.
Right.
So I looked at his tires. I says, you have $800 shoes, but your tires are bald. So I said, when you have a flat, them shoes going to take you where you want to go. So I said, I got $60 shoes on, but I got new Michelins on my car.
Right, right.
So that's just an example of priorities.
Right, right.
What's most important?
Yeah, what's most important?
Out of ignorance. We all have some a level of ignorance.
Right.
But the Bible say, people suffer for lack of knowledge.
Right.
It's a lack of knowledge that you have on $800 shoes and bald their tires. Bald tires.
Right.
That's a lack of knowledge.
Right. Not why.
You should have had on 20, some Foreman Mill shoes and a new set of rubber.
Right. I agree, Bob. Yeah. I agree. Hopefully his car still got where he needed to go.
I'm not going to mention any names.
Right. No names. But anyway, Miles, money can be a challenging issue. One of the things should not matter is who's making the most money, as long as everybody's bringing money to the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things, I think if this world would use biblical principles, everybody'd be wealthy. God actually told us to give a tenth, right?
Mm-hmm.
If everybody paid a dime on a dollar to the government would be wealthy, and so would we. You know, give 10% to God, 10% to the government, we'd be wealthy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if couples could discuss those things, this is what we're going to bring to the table for us giving away. We're going to give away X amount of money every 2 weeks or every month. And the rest, we're going to do X, Y, Z. Of course, you put a portion in savings. And then you do what you want to with the rest if you have any left.
Mm-hmm.
It's yours.
Mm-hmm.
Have your way. But we don't talk about it. And talking about it, if you don't talk about it, then when the problems come up, that's when the arguments occur.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you want to fuss, fight, cuss each other out, whatever you do. And eventually say goodbye. And so money is definitely an issue. But when you share with each other, and when you connect with each other when it comes to your finances, it works out.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. Yeah. It works out. And Miles, how was your family? What kind of socialization did you experience growing up when it came to money? Because I can't really talk about it because my family didn't have money at all. There were days when we didn't eat. So I can't talk about it because I had no financial principles growing up because we never had money.
Well,
you had family that did well.
It just taught us always was taught the ability to accumulate from nothing, turn nothing into something. Example, when I was seven, me and my brother washed out soda bottles. And we would wash out soda bottles and take them to the store, and you got 2 cents a piece for them.
Right.
That was one hustle. And then at the same time, we had a paper route and a shoe shine box.
Right.
I mean, we was some hustling little boys.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
That's true.
And it was always had some method of accumulating. That was a must in the household. You had to accumulate. Go get some old junk, newspaper, soda bottles, shoe shine some shoes. Go deliver some newspapers. Go to the store for Miss Jones down the street. Clean up Mr. George's backyard. I mean, we busy,
right?
And we always had. But my grandmother used to take all our money. But
right.
We thought she was mean, but she was teaching us something.
Sure she was.
If we had $10, she'd take seven.
Right.
And give us three back.
Wow, Moms. You know, it's funny you said that because I was thinking about how a couple should put their income, like put it all in one pile. And take care of all of the major bills. Then once all the major bills are taken care of, then they're separate accounts. They take X amount in their separate accounts and their separate accounts belong to them. You know what I'm saying? And your grandmother used to do that. She used to take all the money and then she would give you a portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
She'd take that money and probably buy some beans.
Yeah, the money belonged to the house.
That's right.
All money belonged to the house.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. All money belonged to the house. Mm-hmm. And then you can separate the other money. You can separate the other money on, I have an account. You have an account. But there's a certain amount we bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that amount that we bring to the table should take care of all the bills.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say?
Yeah, nothing ever got turned off, and,
yeah.
we didn't have much.
Wow, wow, really, Moms?
Nothing. I mean, if it was turned off, it was back on in 24 hours.
Wow,
and that was rare.
Shh.
You know.
Shh. Wow, you know, I'm gonna say this. And I guess we'll be closing out in a few minutes. But, you know, really, it's impossible for a couple to really get emotionally involved with each other and love one another and make love and talk sweet to one another broke.
Yeah.
You know?
We got to teach the children, like the little niece that we have, and she could hardly talk. What is she, three?
Right.
And she comes up to us and say, Pop, you got $8? You got $8? And she could hardly,
right.
She could hardly even talk.
Right.
So I mean, he was telling her, where'd you get this $8?
Right,
to,
right,
you know?
Right. Why eight?
So the other day I gave her three, but I told her, I said, you know what? You're going to wipe down this kitchen. I forgot. I was wanting to put her to work with a rag.
Right.
So, because she hit me too hard all the time.
Right.
So,
right.
So you're going to learn to just pop, just not going to just give you all the time.
That's right.
You're going to have to work for this from now
on.
You got
to work. You got to.
So I got to teach you that.
Yeah, teaching them certain principles.
As soon as they can ask for something.
That's right.
When they get big enough to ask for something, they're big enough to do something for
it. That's right. That's right. Not give me, give me, give me. But I'm just saying that, Miles, that, it, you know, who wants to be in a relationship where every year or two, you losing your house, you losing your apartment, you don't have anywhere to live.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where to have a place to lay your head. Those songs that they sing are lies.
Sure.
You may not have, we may not have, but just as long as I have you,
mm-hmm.
you're everything to me. No, it doesn't work like that.
I got you, babe.
No, it doesn't work like that. And so money and finances are important.
Mm-hmm.
But fighting over finances is a no-no. If you're fighting over finances, you need to begin to sit down, address the issue, and let's fix the issues. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When finances were an issue for us, we fixed those finances. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't allow those things to make us walk away from each other. We fixed the issues. So any closing remarks on this, Miles? Anything? Anything? How? In closing, what would you say to a couple who are getting married and their financial mindset was not on point? I personally would tell them, don't do it until you get financial counseling. Go ahead.
Well, we need to know each other's desires. One can go to Burger King or McDonald's, but you can't make McDonald's a way of life. One should have a desire to go to a 5-star restaurant.
Right. That's right.
You know, if a guy is taking you to Burger King and have a desire to take you to a 5-star restaurant. I mean, that's a start,
yeah.
You know, but one may not have a desire to take you anywhere.
Right.
You know, so that's a observation that one should.
Look at it. Yeah. I think, you know, it's not about how much money you have. It's about what you do with what you have. And so,
do I care?
Yeah.
Do I care that you drive in a Ford Taurus? Do I care enough about you to try to have something better for you?
Right.
Do I care?
Right.
You know,
that's important.
Yeah.
Because you know I love diamonds.
I don't want to see you. I hate seeing you suffer.
Right.
You know, and if one could smile while you're suffering, then you may have to do some reevaluating about what company you keeping.
That's right. Absolutely. I love that, Miles.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Listen, we are near the closing. We might have even gone overboard.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was great. I think we discussed it well.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that those who are considering marriage would consider the things that we suggested, and that is discuss it, talk about it. If a person doesn't want you to see their credit score, then, you know, run. Turn around and haul tail.
Mm-hmm.
If they say that is not an option, then you say, dating me is not an option. And I'm sorry. I want to see your credit score. I want to see what you're spending your money on. You know, if you are maxing out your credit card every month and only paying a little bit on that credit card every month, then I might run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are people with gambling habits that will gamble up all your money.
How about, tell a story quickly about the house we went into. When you were showing this rapper, the rapper was trying to get a $1 million house.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was selling the house for the people. Tell them about it.
Yeah. Bro. And the we went into this 12,000 square foot mansion up in the media. And when we walked in, the place was just drop dead gorgeous. And the lady was in the kitchen and looked like she was crying. She was so sad that when we walked in. So I thought it was a racist thing for a minute. But when I got all the information and I learned the story that the guy had gambled up every dime that he had. I mean, he was rich. And Atlantic City took every dime that he had, and he had to sell his house. And his wife was just in the kitchen while we came in to take a look at it for sale. And she had the saddest look on her face. I mean, it just saddened her that she had to leave. But he had gambled up every dime and looked like she was surprised that they were broke.
Right. Well, he was still making money, but the taxes were so high in the area,
yeah,
he couldn't pay those taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he lost it.
Yeah.
So
it would be very beneficial if you know what's going on in your house.
Right. Right.
You know, if your husband's missing for 4 hours and he don't answer the phone, you need to know what's going on.
Absolutely. And in closing, if you are having financial problems in your marriage, then what you want to do is identify the problem, make a budget to try to help resolve the problem. Stop spending, pay in cash. Don't take on any more debt. Don't buy anything new and increase your income. And there's nothing wrong with taking on a few hours of extra work. So, what do we want to say, Miles? Good night?
I'm going to say good night.
Okay. We'd like to say good night. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you're being blessed by our program. We are surely being blessed talking to you. Don't forget, if you have any questions, hit us up on Facebook. Clarence Miles on Facebook, Marilyn Miles on Facebook, or hit us up on our Gmail, Till Death Do Us Part.
Be looking to hear from you.
@gmail.com. Have a good evening.